Now, you'll be very aware that over the last number of weeks, I think over the last 9 or 10 weeks, we've been looking at some of the things in the Bible that God explicitly tells us that he loves. God the Father loves the Son. As the Father hath loved me, even so have I loved you. Then God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We considered God's love for Israel, God's love for the stranger within the gates, God's love for the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Then the assembling of God's people together. God loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Then we thought about God's love for holiness, God's love for justice, God's love for righteousness. And today we find ourselves almost at the end of this series, just a couple of weeks to go, God willing, after today, thinking about the words of 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 7. God loveth a cheerful giver. Sometimes whenever we look at that text of Scripture, we immediately think of giving of our substance and finance to the Lord. But there's so much that the Lord wants us to give to him. I believe that God wants us to give him some of our time. Be still and know that I am God. The Bible says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And it's encouraging us to spend time in the secret place alone with the Lord. And then, of course, God also wants us to give to him our talents, our gifts, our abilities, our intellect, whatever God has gifted us for. And God has gifted every Christian in a special and in a very unique way. Your gift will be different from the person sitting beside you. My gift might be different from yours, and God has given us all gifts. The Bible speaks about the gift of hospitality. The Word of God indicates that some have been given the gift of encouragement. Some have been given the gift of being good leaders. Some have been given the gift of being able to minister in song or teach children or be personal workers. Some have been given the gift of maybe being able to work with their hands. Every single Christian has got a gift. It may be even regarding cooking and different things like that. And whatever God has gifted you for, he wants us to give our gifts and our talents back to him so that he can use them. And then, of course, God wants us to give him our tithes and our offerings. We read about that earlier in Malachi chapter 3, bringing the tithes into the storehouse. And throughout the book of Genesis, we see the principle of the giving of the tithe. Abraham gave a tenth, Jacob gave a tenth. And right through the Old Testament, the last book of the Word of God, we read about the tithe and the offering. And then God also wants us to give him our trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But the one thing that God wants us to give him the most is our hearts. Proverbs 23:26, Solomon says, my son, give me thy heart. And if God has the heart, he's got everything. If somebody wins your heart, you're willing to give what you can for them. It might be your husband, your wife, your spouse, your children, your parents. And if they have your heart, then giving of your time and your talents and your substance and your trust is never difficult if they have got your heart. And so it is with the Lord. If God has all of our hearts and we seek to honor him with our hearts, then giving to the Lord is not a drudgery, not a duty, but a delight. Something that the Christian takes joy in and gladness in. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Few simple things that I want to say this morning about giving, many of them drawn from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The first thing is, very simply, the advantage of giving. No believer is ever at a disadvantage whenever they generously give. It is a blessing to give. The scripture says it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, you receive a greater blessing, a greater advantage whenever you give rather than whenever you receive. I believe that giving is advantageous to God himself. And by that I mean that whenever a person gives of their time, their talents, their tithes, and their trust, and they give of these things, and they give their heart to the Lord, the scripture says, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God loveth a cheerful giver. And the Bible says that the Christian is to be a blessing to the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, our giving cannot enrich God. Neither can our withholding impoverish him, because God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. But God's kingdom receives blessing, and God himself receives honor and glory whenever a child of God is a cheerful giver. You remember the story in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 7. It speaks about a woman coming to the Lord shortly before his crucifixion on the cross. And she fell at his feet, and she had an alabaster box of ointment. And that alabaster box and the ointment inside it, that ointment was in all likelihood being set aside for her own burial. It was the most precious thing that she had. It was roughly worth a year's wages for the working man or woman. And she broke that box and she anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with that alabaster. And immediately people began to question her actions, and they said, to what purpose was this waste? And immediately the Lord said, let her alone. She hath wrought a good work on me. She hath done what she could. And the scripture says that the whole house was filled with the fragrance of that ointment. And so she was a blessing to the Lord because of her giving. And then in Luke chapter 21, we read about the Lord, and he was standing there, and the people were coming to the house of God, and they were bringing their offerings and their tithes and different things. And a little widow woman came, and you know the story well, some of you. She had two mites, the smallest token in that currency. Two little mites, very, very little in the eyes of the world. And yet whenever that widow put in of her substance those two mites, the Lord was blessed in that. And he drew attention to the disciples and he says, do you see this woman? She has given more than anybody else because she has given of her substance and she has given sacrificially. And she was a blessing to the Lord because of her giving. Now any Christian on that wise can please God. We mightn't have all that much to give. But Gladys Aylward, who was seeking to go to China to serve the Lord, she was a parlour maid from the East End of London, and she had got very, very little. In fact, because of her lack of gift, talent, education, and financial support, there was no missionary organisation that was willing to accept her. But she went to her bedroom, and she opened her Bible, and she opened her purse, and she poured out her money onto the pages of her Bible, and all that fell out was a few farthings. And she said, Lord, here's my Bible, here's all of my money, and here's my life. And she gave it all to the Lord, and long story short, God got her to China, and she blazed a trail for God. She gave what she could. And then giving is advantageous to others. Verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 9 says, for the administration of this service, giving is described as being a service. Not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So God gets glory. Verse 12, whenever people give cheerfully, God is advantaged. But it also says that this service of giving supplieth the want of saints. Your giving can be used as a blessing from God to meet the needs of others. And I'm not just speaking about people that are maybe in the Lord's work full time or in the mission field, but even a brother or sister that has got a specific need. And I would know from visiting from house to house that there have been those in our congregation maybe going through trial or bereavement or sickness. And there have been well-meaning Christians, brothers and sisters in the Lord, who quietly have visited the home and given of their time. maybe given of their talents and brought something with them that they've made or done, and that is a tremendous blessing, seeking to meet the needs of other believers through your giving. Verse 13 says, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. Speaking of giving towards all men. And this is something that was part and parcel of the life and witness and testimony of the early church. The book of the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 4 speaks about the needs of the Christian church at that particular time. And it says, neither in amongst all of the believers was there any of them that lacked. They all had what they needed to get through life. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to every man according to his needs. Such was the love that believers had for each other in New Testament times that if they saw, here's a brother or sister, they're naked, they're destitute of daily food. Here's a family that's been persecuted, they've been driven from their homes, they're starving. They were willing to sacrifice, they were willing to sell up so that they could meet the needs of their brothers and sisters in Christ. John Blanchard said, your money can make you an overseas missionary without ever leaving your hometown. Your money can make you an evangelist without ever standing in a pulpit. Your money can make you a Christian broadcaster without ever going to a radio center. And your giving can make you a Bible teacher without ever going to a seminary. And your giving can make a house and a home and a family to be blessed elsewhere. Giving is advantageous to God, to others, and also to self. Verse number 8, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Whenever people give cheerfully to the Lord, God assures us and God promises us that that person will never lack. Like the psalmist, they can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God will supply all of my need. The book of Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 24 records, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that which withholdeth more than his meat, but attendeth to poverty. Same thought. God saying, if you're generous and you're kind and you're benevolent and you're a cheerful giver, he says, I will see to it that you have everything that you need and that you abound more and more. But whenever we think we're profiting ourselves by withholding, God says, it's not the case. Seeking empties a life. Giving fills a life. The old adage, the hand that gives gathers, is so true. In robbing God and in robbing others, you really rob yourself. The advantage of giving. And then there's also in Scripture a very clear appeal for giving. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9. For this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Scripture makes an appeal for us to give. Honor the Lord, the book of Proverbs says, with thy substance and with the first fruit of thine increase. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Matthew chapter 5, 42 says, give to him that asketh of thee. The Savior said, freely ye have received, freely give. Acts 20, 35 says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So giving is not a matter of feeling, it's a matter of obedience. The appeal to give. The advantage of giving. But something else that I want you to consider is the appreciation of giving. The measure of a person's giving often indicates the measure of that person's gratitude. Ingratitude and unthankfulness is oftentimes a mark of carnality. You remember the story, the true account of the Lord healing the 10 lepers? And only one of them returned to give thanks. 10 were healed. 9 were filled with ingratitude. They didn't really appreciate perhaps just what the Lord had done for them. And the scripture says that this will be one of the signs in the last days, that men shall be unthankful and unholy. Romans 1:21 says, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Man's ingratitude to God is often seen in man's ingratitude to his fellow man. Reading recently again through the life of Joseph. Joseph's in a prison cell. The butler and the baker have dreams. He interprets the dreams. They are released from prison. One goes on to be hung for his crimes, and the other one goes on to prosper and do well. And the butler promises that he would remember Joseph. But the years rolled on, and the butler forgot all about Joseph in prison. Just like some professing believers, they do not know when or even why they ought to say thanks. And sometimes getting and receiving is deemed to be a right rather than a privilege. People should appreciate giving. Gratitude is the mark of spirituality. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 17, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord, which he hath given him. So even written into the Old Testament law, the man who realizes just how much God has blessed me, and whenever we see our sinfulness and the holiness of God, and we contemplate the mercy of God, it will help us to really appreciate just how much God has given us. Again, in Luke's gospel, we have a similar account of a woman coming before the Lord, and she washes his feet with her tears. And again, there's murmuring, and she was a wicked sinner, and she anointed his feet with ointment, and so on and so forth. And we read in verse number 47 that the Lord says, wherefore I say unto her, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Here was a woman who was a notable sinner, in all likelihood a prostitute. And the Lord had met her and forgiven her and cleansed her, and she was so filled with gratitude that the Lord says she loves much. But those who count their salvation as being a little thing, and maybe don't view themselves as being all that big a sinner, and maybe just don't appreciate just how much God loves them, it says the same loveth little. The appreciation of giving. Verse number 6 of 2 Corinthians 9, I believe, speaks of the asset or the investment of giving. He which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Giving to the Lord with a right heart attitude is an investment. Little poem I once read said, there was a man, some called him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. Giving is an asset. Giving is an investment. It's an investment in time. Verse 10 says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Giving is an investment in time. You will only reap if you sow. Paul says, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Sow bountifully, and you will reap bountifully. And anybody that knows anything about gardening or farming knows that to be true. The more time, the more toil, the more of your substance that you invest in cultivating a field, breaking up the fallow ground, plowing up the land, fertilizing the ground, and the more you sow, the more inevitably you will reap. Giving brings multiplication and increase in the natural realm. And the Lord says that it is the same in the spiritual realm. C.H. Spurgeon said, faith's way of gaining is giving. Faith's way of gaining is giving. I'll sow bountifully. It'll be an investment. It'll be an asset in time. I'll reap bountifully. And then it's, of course, an asset primarily in eternity. Giving in time is an investment for heaven. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And I wonder this morning how much of an investment we have made for God's eternal kingdom. He that is faithful in little, or he that is faithful in much, the Scripture said, shall be given much. It is verses like this that really indicate whether we believe the Bible or not. Matthew 10:42, the Lord says, even those who give a cup of cold water in my name shall in no wise lose their reward. Now, a cup of cold water mightn't seem like much, but it might mean a lot to somebody that's thirsty. And it might be all that you're able to give. But the Lord takes the least thing that a person can give, water that falls from the sky, gathered up and given to a thirsty soul. The Lord says there's an eternal reward, an eternal investment, an everlasting asset for such an individual. But giving is something that shows our walk with God more clearly, the affirmation of giving. Our chapter ends with the words, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God is a bountiful and benevolent God. God is kind and God is good. And whenever we think of the greatest gift that God has ever given, his unspeakable gift, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and we look at the gift that God gave, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we look at his life and we see that he was ever giving. In the life of Christ, Christ gave liberally. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. The Scripture says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. And as we only consider today our homes, our fridges, our closets, God has given to us liberally. And certainly more than we deserve. Christ gives liberally. Christ gave sacrificially. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Paul talked about the Lord Jesus Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave sacrificially. He surrendered his life in order that he might give. He also gave joyfully. Hebrews 12 and verse number 2, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And of course, he gave willingly. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And if we are true followers today of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that he has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. 1 Peter 2:21. And if Christ gave liberally, sacrificially, joyfully, and willingly, is it not reasonable if we belong to Christ and he is our Savior and we are his people, that we endeavor to show to the world that we really belong to Christ by seeking to give liberally, sacrificially, joyfully, and willingly. Our call as Christians is to reflect the image of Christ in this world. What is a Christian but an ambassador for Christ? And you might be the only Christ that people see in your family. You might be the only Christ that people see in your workplace. You might be the only Christ that people see in your community. And you say, well, I'm maybe not very good at witnessing. I'm maybe not very good at explaining my faith. I'm maybe not a theologian, and I'm maybe not all that confident about speaking to people. But as the hymn writer said, some deed of kindness done, some wanderer sought and won, something for thee. Surely we can all give something of our time. Something of our talent, our tithes, and their trust. Richard Bronstein, who said, "It is possible to give without loving, but it is impossible to love without giving. It is possible to give without loving, but it is impossible to love without giving. God so loved the world that he gave. He commendeth his love toward us in sending his son." And then the last thing that I want you to think about as we consider giving is the atmosphere of giving, or the manner or spirit in which we are to give. Verse 7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." And here's the atmosphere in which we're to give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful giver. The Christian is to give charitably. And that means with the spirit of love. We've mentioned that already. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the great love chapter in Scripture. And it says, "Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, and seeketh not her own." And so whenever a person gives to the Lord or gives to somebody else, they ought to do it not to get, not to receive anything in return, vaunteth not itself. They're not to do it with a proud heart attitude, not puffed up, "Look how much I have given," giving to be seen of men. And they're not to give to seek their own gain. They're to give charitably. We're also to give copiously. "He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully." And then it says in verse number 7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart." So this is something we're to think about. Not only what we give, when we give, how we give, but even who we give to. And I think it's so important that we pray about that, about who we give to and who we support, even in the Lord's work. Because as we said often before, not all that looks like Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. Somebody once asked the question, are you giving what is right? Or are you just giving what is left? Are you giving what is right? Or are you giving what is left? So often we give God the scraps. I know I've told the story before, but some of you have maybe never heard it, about a particular evangelist that went to preach at a certain meeting in America. And a large crowd had assembled in the auditorium because they knew he was a very gifted speaker and has been used greatly of God. And so the church was filled with people. And he stood in the pulpit and he reached into his pocket and he took out a banana and he began to peel the banana. And then he slowly ate the banana and then he threw the banana skin over the pulpit down before what was called the penitent form in the church. And then he pointed to the banana skin and says, "That's what some of you are giving God. You're giving God the scraps. You're giving God the leftovers. You're not giving what is right. You're giving what is left." Oswald Chambers, the famous Scottish Baptist preacher, said, "Not how much we give, but how much we do not give is the test of our Christianity." I'm sure we've all seen Caterpillar trucks and diggers, especially if you've been driving up and down the line between here and Ballymena, and they're fixing the roads. And our children, the two boys especially, love to look out the window and see the diggers and the dumpers and the bulldozers and the road rollers and all the different things. And some of them were designed and made by Caterpillar. And the founder of that business himself was a Christian. I'm just not sure how to pronounce his name, R.G. Letourneau or something like that. But whenever his business was successful and God honored him, it is said that he gave something in the region of 90% of his income to God's work and to people that were in need. We were thinking earlier about Mr. Colgate, who gave something like 50% to the spread of the gospel and to those who were in need. And then we're to give cheerfully. Verse 7 says we're not to give grudgingly. You know the way you give to the tax man, you pay your taxes, you don't really want to do it, but you have to do it, and you do it sort of grudgingly. Nor of necessity, the way you give to the insurance man. You don't really want to insure your house or your car, but you have to do it. It's a necessity. You give to the tax man grudgingly. You give to the insurance man out of necessity. But the scripture says we're to give to the Lord cheerfully. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The word cheerful could also be translated hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. He loves those who love to give. Charles Hodge said, unless we feel it as an honor and as a joy to give, God does not accept our offering. Unless we see it as an honor and as a joy to give, God does not accept our offering. And then I think the last thing about the atmosphere of giving, give charitably, copiously, cheerfully, give consistently. God doesn't say love someone who cheerfully gives, but the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And the word giver denotes someone who has formulated this habit in their life, who goes on giving of their time, goes on giving of their talents, goes on giving of their tithe, goes on giving of their trust. Not just somebody who gives haphazardly, now and again, but someone who gives conscientiously and consistency. Consistency is the crowning jewel of the Christian life. God doesn't look for great gift or talent. Doesn't look for great ability. But I think one thing God takes delight in is consistency. Consistency in prayer. Consistency in service. Consistency in worship. Consistency in worshiping. Consistency in walking with God, and consistency even in our giving. God loveth a cheerful giver. And we're thankful today for many in our province and many in our congregation who cheerfully give of what they can to the Lord and to those around them in need. Again, we remind ourselves and we ask ourselves in closing, do we love what God loves? And do we long to be the things that God loves? Do we long to be righteous? Do we long to be holy? Do we long to be just? Do we long to be generous? May God help us to go through with himself. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Let's sing a verse or two of 490. It's our closing hymn.